Merciful Father, though you do not have eyes, you see us. Though you do not have lips, you speak to us the word, especially shown in Christ, our Savior, your only begotten Son. We are so thankful that He is the visible representation of you, the invisible God, whom we know, as Scripture says, no one can see nor has seen. So help us now through the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Help us when we ask, show us the Father and it will be enough for us, just as Thomas asked. Help us to hear the words of Christ, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Holy Spirit, be honored as we approach the Scriptures you inspired. Convict us of our sin and cover our shame by the holiness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Guys, what do you hope you achieve in your life? What trophies do you want to earn? Or what trophies, when you fail to earn them, pisses you off like nothing else? When you screw up in the championship game, or just when you screw up in life, and some of you think you are perpetually screw-ups. Maybe you are. When you fail to achieve what you want to achieve, or even if you get what you want, is that all there is? Is that okay for you, for that to be your identity? The desire to achieve is not evil, but how you and I tend to wrap our identities up in our trophies, whether they're physical trophies, like a guy had, you know, the trophies that I never earned because I'm 5'6 and quit playing sports in eighth grade. If you are aiming to get those trophies, or if what you want is something less tangible, how you wrap up who you are in those things often does become evil. Our achievements often become who we are. That's how we measure ourselves. Who I am becomes nothing more than what I achieve, and what I achieve is all I think I am. Is that you? To some extent, as a man, I guarantee it is. Some of you far more than others. We all want to succeed rather than fail. We want to be left. Some of us, like me, I'm an introvert. This group freaks me out. I want to go find a quiet room, maybe talk with one or two people, and be left alone. That's what I hope to achieve. Some of you have to be the life of the party. You're fueled by people, energy. You'd want to be the most popular kid rather than settling to be that loser over there who plays the tuba in the marching band. Now, I like tubas. I like the marching band. But some of you look with disgust on the people who that's all they achieve. But some of you also look at the jock who you can't stand, who eats, sleeps, and talks sports, and it's like they have no identity beyond sports. We want to achieve glory and win instead of lose. We want to be brave and courageous rather than be found a coward when facing danger. We want to be wealthy rather than poor, to love and be loved rather than to be hated. Who wakes up and says, I can't wait for somebody to hate me today? Yes. You want to be remembered instead of discarded and forgotten, smart rather than dumb. We all would rather have the high score, the hot ride, or the hot date, or best resume. We seek achievements. Sometimes the achievement we seek is an escape from our shameful past. We want our reputations to increase and the guilt of our parents to no longer carry us or to no longer follow us around everywhere we go. So we as men surround ourselves with trophies that tell us how valuable we are. It's like we can hold them up and say, look at how successful I am. Here's all the proof, right? There's an ancient myth about a clever king named Sisyphus. He cheated death on multiple occasions. He outsmarted even the Greek gods, all in an attempt to live longer and keep his kingdom directly under his control. But when the gods finally beat him, they punished him in a brilliant way. They made him roll a large boulder perpetually up a mountain, and then required it to fall back down, and then required him to push it back up, and had to have it fall back down. And this was his life through eternity. All that Sisyphus tried to achieve was turned around on its head and twisted so that he could never achieve anything but fruitless, vain, worthless labor. I don't want my life wasted. And I assume you don't either. But maybe you already feel like a waste of space because all your achievements fall short. Whether you think yourself successful or whether you think yourself a failure, the same problem plagues us as guys. We put our most important efforts into things that have the least eternal value. We decide who we are based on what we do or fail to do rather than in what Christ has done for us. When our achievements become our identity, we become Sisyphus, pointlessly pushing and seeking glory in things that gain us nothing when we die. We scheme and plan and plot, arranging the limited hours of our day for things that really hold no value. When I was in high school, I had really simple goals. I really did. I actually didn't care a whole lot about grades. I was quite pleased with the effort to get average grades of C's. Because that meant I had more time for what I really liked. The Simpsons, X-Files, and avoiding my parents. I didn't care that much about a girlfriend. I only had and only wanted 3 to 4 friends who liked the same science fiction that I did. I just wanted peace and quiet. I wanted to be left alone. So I arranged my life and my energy to achieve those trophies. Everything we hope to achieve becomes a trophy in our life. For Christians, though, for you, you must not allow your earthly temporary achievements in this life to define who we are in eternity and in heaven. Some of you are placing all your identity and value in these things like I did. We must find our true identity in Christ. This becomes crystal clear in the scripture I've printed on the handout for you. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, Paul says this, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." These four verses show us three ways we must place our identities in Christ rather than our achievements. And the first way is found in verse 8. It's a way of evaluating your trophies. It's evaluating your trophies. Paul's trophies were not that valuable to him. He actually says, "For Jesus' sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." Now, this word rubbish is interesting. You might occasionally hear somebody talk about garbage or trash like it's rubbish. When I was a really little kid, I'm talking like ages, 4, maybe 3, up to about ages 8. If I said a bad word or was disrespectful to my parents, I had to stand in the corner and keep a bar of soap in my mouth for the duration of whatever time my parents had given me. Now, try to just stand, don't, but if you can imagine trying to stand in a corner with a bar of soap in your mouth, you don't want to swallow. Once, after several long minutes of the soap in mouth punishment, my dad came up to me and said, "Did we get all the bad words out?" Now, I was not a particularly nice child, so my response was, "Nope, there's a lot more in there." Back went the soap. When Paul writes these verses in Philippians, he uses a word that if I had said it, would have gotten me the soap in the mouth treatment. In Greek, the word is skubala, which we translate as rubbish. But here's what's funny about that. That word means a lot more than trash or rubbish. We don't translate it as it truly means because it's offensive to our ears. And Paul meant it to be offensive to our ears. If we were to translate skubala, it literally means shh, fill in the blank. Dung, feces, crap. Paul says, "All that I have earned in this life, I count as skubala. Crap." I bet that's not how you look at your accomplishments. And you can usually tell it when the bragging starts. Paul himself was a man of great accomplishments. He had an elite education with famous professors. He was a Roman citizen, which was a very valuable commodity to wear. a very powerful trophy, so to speak. He obeyed and sought to obey the Jewish law, the Torah. And he did it better than anybody. He was from a famous tribe in Israel with a powerful and controversial past. His clan, so to speak, his people were famous. And he was brilliant. His list of trophies are better than yours. And yet Paul can still say, I count all of that as skubala, crap, dung. To be holy and to have your identity as a man in Christ, if you care about that, is to count everything you have earned or everything you have failed to earn as crap when it comes to eternity. You must have that mindset. That must be the way you value the things you do or fail to do in this life. We must confess with Paul that they're worth nothing spiritually. The second way we find our identities in Christ rather than achievements is found in chapter 3, verse 10, printed there on your sheet. And this way has to do with our hopes and dreams. What does Paul say is his hope? His hope can be summarized in three simple words found there in the text. He says, my hope is to be found in Him. Found in Him. More than anything, more than all the skubala and crap of his failures or his achievements, Paul wants to be found in Christ. He wants less of himself and more of Jesus. Do you? The more hope we place in temporary achievements, the less value we place in the permanent, lasting achievements of Christ. If we wrap ourselves up, if we clothe our identities as men with our trophies, all we're doing is constantly trying to prove ourselves or to run away from people who know how much we failed to prove ourselves. I would sure like rest from that labor. I'm tired of being a Sisyphus. St. Augustine once said, this was about 1,500 years ago, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. The hope of heaven is heaven's high king, Jesus. And he's greater than anything you are hoping to escape or hoping to achieve in the next few years on a college resume or high school or whatever you think you've achieved to this point. Do you want to be found in Christ or found in yourself? I want to be found with Paul in Christ. Why? Let me run through a couple of reasons why I want to be found in Christ and no longer found in Jonathan. Christ obeyed the law perfectly, which is required for salvation. Christ obeyed the law perfectly without fail while you fail to obey the law perfectly. Don't be found in yourself. Be found in His obedience. He had perfect love for God's people and for the Heavenly Father. You and I can barely love our own families the way we're supposed to, much less all our neighbors that we run into in the hallways of our schools or businesses or churches. Christ had perfect hope in the promises of God. I bet you can't even name 100 promises of God. Can you name 50? Can you name 10? And yet, to be saved, we must place all our hope in His promises. There is one promise that I want to be found in, and that is the promise that if I have Christ and am found in Him, I have everything. Christ had perfect faith in His Father. Yes, as a real human being, Jesus had to have faith. He had to trust in what He could not see against all the things He could. He had to have perfect faith. You and I don't have perfect faith. In every way, Jesus had perfect faith, hope, and love. And He had perfect obedience to the law of God. This is why Paul says his greatest hope is to be found in Jesus. Because if you and I are going to be Christians, if that's going to be us, it means we should be seeking to have all of Jesus' successes as ours. And to count all our successes or failures as crap. That should be our hope, to be found in Him and no longer found in ourselves. The third way we find a better identity in Jesus is found in verse 11. Paul says in verse 11, I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. Paul's identity is in Christ, and he shows it by what he pursues. He shows his identity in Jesus, that he indeed is found in him, that indeed he counts everything as crap by how he pursues life going forward. In other words, if you want to show that your identity is really in Christ, that you count everything as crap, that you want to be found in him, no longer in yourself, then you will walk out of here trying to pursue the same thing Paul did. So what was he pursuing? He says there in the text, the power of Christ's resurrection. That's what he's pursuing. When Jesus rose from the dead, he killed death. And when he killed death, he eliminated what we have to fear the most. Holiness from the Holy Spirit is the power of the resurrection. Because as long as you and I are dying, we are unholy people. This is why it's so important that we understand that while the body will be dead and buried, and while right now you are closer to death than you are when you walked into here, your body is still suffering the effects of sin and misery and death. You are still unholy right now in your flesh. In an entirely different way, you are holy in Christ if your faith is in him. Because your soul has been reborn. You have the new birth. And the Spirit now makes his home in you. The Holy One, the Holy Spirit, dwells in an unholy man. That's hard to understand. How can one who does not die, the Holy Spirit, dwell in those who do? I don't entirely have the answer to that question, but I know this promise. When the Holy Spirit dwells in you as he dwelled in Christ, and we know he dwelled in Christ because it says in Romans chapter 1, the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead so that his flesh would not see corruption. Isn't that what happens to our bodies? Like a computer virus corrupts a hardware system. Death is corrupting our flesh even now. This is why the older you get, the more aches and pains you have. This is why bumps and bruises and broken bones don't heal the same way the older you get. Our bodies are corrupt. But in Christ, we become holy people. And we have the promise of the power of his resurrection to undo everything unholy right now. Are you pursuing that? Because we will live forever, we should act like it. And we should pursue what will give us life with Christ, rather than continuing to turn away from life in Christ and pursuing all these trophies and achievements that only bring death at the end of the line. You can't pursue a comfortable life and Christ. Comfort is an American dream, not a Christian dream. The Bible says, and I'm quoting the book of Psalms, it was good that I should suffer, that I should learn of your laws. Now, I doubt you woke up this morning going, yes, another day to suffer. I had a kid snoring till 3 a.m. in my room last night. At 3 a.m., I woke him up and mildly threatened him that if he did not roll over, he would be suffering. Now, thankfully, this kid's like a son to me. I am that old. So he rolled over, and oh, I had a blissful hour and a half until somebody else started doing it. All right? You're going to suffer this week in some way, but I doubt you woke up thinking, I can't wait to suffer today. Christians cannot pursue comfort over Christ. That's on Judgment Day, which will come. I want my identity to be declared, he is one who pursued the power of Christ's resurrection. On Judgment Day, I don't want it said, he pursued Christ until it cost him something. He pursued Christ until it hurt. He pursued Christ until it made him suffer, and then he turned away. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my eternal rest. Paul says he desires more than anything else to know Jesus and to know how powerful the resurrection is. To share in Jesus' sufferings, he says in this text. Have you considered Christ's sufferings? I'm not talking about the cross. You can't go die on a cross.
I'm talking about not giving in to temptation. It is not the one who gives in to temptation who knows how strong it is. It's the one who doesn't. Because temptation gets harder the harder you fight it. Christ never gave in to temptation. He knows what it means to suffer as we are. Scripture says, in every way, like us, he was tempted, yet never gave in. Can you imagine what it must have been like for one who was sinless and yet entirely a human male to have every temptation thrown at him, and he never gave in? Every word he spoke was in perfect obedience, though he was tempted to tell his brothers and sisters to shut up. Every action he did was in perfect obedience to his parents, though there may have been times he could have been tempted to say, "I'm God." In every way, Christ is tempted but did not give in. Do you want to know his sufferings like that? How desperate do you want to know him? Which is another way of saying, how fast do you give in to temptation? Only by the power of the Spirit. Only by counting all our strength and all our achievements as crap. Only if we have all our hope in being found in him can we possibly pursue the power of the resurrection, the holy living that comes from the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as unholy men and women who are not here, but they suffer this as well. When you act like achieving is most important, you're actually shrinking your own value as a man. I mean, think about it. Think about whatever trophy you've earned, whatever car you have restored with your dad, or whatever thing you are trying to pursue. If what you are can be visibly displayed by something made in a factory, if that's all your humanity is worth, if that's what you hold up and say, "Look at me," you're not worth very much. You have a pretty shallow life. If that's how awesome you are, it's not a lot of awesome. You're as deep and profound as what you value. You're as deep as what you value. This is why a poor man who has Christ is rich. This is why a man full of shame and dishonor, if he has Christ, becomes a man of honorable holiness. He's no longer a worm in the sight of his father. He becomes a saint. This is why a mentally stupid boy who is always underachieving, who has Christ, is wiser than a brilliant kid who gets the 36 or the 1600. I hate those kids. When who you are is defined by Christ rather than you, you become greater than you can imagine. Because Ephesians 3 says those who are found in Christ have the Heavenly Father doing for them more than you could possibly ask or imagine. Add up every one of our imaginations in this class. Add up every question we could ever ask God, every request we could ever make. He can do more. If you are found in him, you have the hope of heaven as yours. If you can count everything as crap in order to pursue the righteous way of Christ, you have him. Guys, Philippians shows the ways we are to find our identities in Christ rather than in ourselves or our accomplishments. First, I urge you to count your trophies like crap because they have no eternal value compared to having Christ. Second, place all your hope and desire in being found in him rather than found in yourself on the day of judgment. And third, I urge you to pursue the power of resurrection and holiness, becoming like Jesus, and stop settling for being found and becoming like yourself more and more. I leave you with this quote about the greatness of our Savior. "Now Christ conquered in himself, and therefore he triumphed in himself and in himself alone. And thus he became our Redeemer, not only to break sin's bars and fling off the gates of hell and come out of that prison he was in," meaning the prison of this world, "but as a trophy to take not only us on his back and carry us up the hill triumphantly, carrying us on his shoulders, but also to bring us all the way home to the gates of heaven." Don't be Sisyphus.
pursue and hold Christ as precious in your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we plead with you to make us holy men because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That only comes by gift. We cannot earn the Spirit. So we ask you to take the Word and honor it and remove hardness. Remove sin that does not convict us and break us down. Humble us, Holy Spirit, so that we can see the value of Christ, the Son of Heaven, and desire the jewel of heaven, Christ Himself, more than anything we have ever earned or hope to earn, or anything we want to escape or think we can't. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.